The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The idea of constant guidance, because again, if you think about it, one of the things that God has done since the creation of man is that there has always been a guide, right? That the earth is never empty of a guide. And today, even though that guide is in ghaiba, we have different forms of guides. We have our maraja, we have books, we have the Quran. It's not that these things have been disappeared from us or have been taken away from us. And what that tells us is the need of mankind, of human beings, to constantly have guidance or need guidance. Yeah, that we as human beings, doesn't matter what state we're in, doesn't matter what age we've reached, doesn't matter what faith level we have reached, we are in need of constant guidance, right? And the reason for our guidances could be many, because number one, there is no end really as far as how much we can get closer to God. Hence, the more we get, the more we will get there or closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from the perspective of challenges and hurdles, right? That we are bombarded, yeah, with challenges and hurdles. And we are constantly in need of this. This is divine hikmah, right? Divine wisdom that tells us why we need guidance. But if you look at some of these hurdles, we can point to so many different things that are there as blocks for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Some of these hurdles are in self-inflicted at times, right? And what it means is the lifestyle that I chose is adding hurdles to my life. It's the friends that I keep that are adding hurdles to my life. It is my choices that I make that are adding hurdles to my life. And so sometimes the hurdles that we face that we need help to overcome are self-inflicted, right? And this is something we have to be very cautious about. Other times these hurdles are created due to our complacency and fatigue, you know. There is no greater block than a block that we just create in ourselves to say, I can't do it. Right? Like, I just can't. Like, no, I can't. Right? Like Rajab came and like it's time to fast and my mind, I know I should fast, but like, no, I just can't. Right? Something's just telling me I can't and I don't know what that is. It's my own complacency. Right? It's nothing else. It's my own block that I've created. And a lot of times that is because of our comfort in our faith, to be quite honest. Right? Like, but I'm good in this area, I'm good in that area, Allah will understand kind of thing, right? And that, what we don't realize, is just holding us back. And so sometimes that hurdle is from that. And then sometimes the hurdles is because of the society around us, right? Even if person X, as a believer who is a non-sinner, who does not sin, simply being in an environment like this is automatically going to feel the ramifications of that, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. We're exposed to so many things subconsciously that we need extra steps to overcome these. And these are some of the hurdles that we are facing. Now, when we look at the need for guidance on one hand, right, so keep that in mind. The reason we need them is because of these hurdles, whether they are self-inflicted or external. But when you look at these hurdles that we face, I think a really important point that we cannot overlook is that the primary impetus of all forms of deviation, whether they are self-inflicted or external, is shaitan. Yeah? I want us to not underestimate shaitan, right? I think, again, like it's a matter of sometimes overexposure to certain things makes us look or lose the value of that particular thing. So since the time we were kids, we've been hearing about shaitan, we kind of just take shaitan for granted, you know. Shaitan's not, I think that's one of the greatest tricks of shaitan, is to make us feel like he's not that big of an enemy, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in so many ways, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَعَدُوٌ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, that indeed shaitan to you, mankind, is a manifest enemy, right? Like, we have to be on guard at all times. So this complacency that I feel, like, ah, I'll do it later, ah, I just don't have the... What is that? That's the whispering of shaitan. Yeah, absolutely. The glorification of lifestyles that are different than the Islamic lifestyle, which is making me have a hard time to ascend. What is that? That glorification came from shaitan, right? The hurdles that I added to my life, how did I fall prey to that? It was shaitan, right? And so it's really important for us to understand the power of shaitan. And this is the lecture series that we started. We will continue for the month of Rajab. We want to try to get a better understanding of who is shaitan, or what is shaitan. How we can learn more about him so that inshallah we can fight him. It's about recognizing him in the first place. But it's not just a him, right? So if you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word shaitan 70 times in the singular form. So in the singular form, which is the word shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it 70 times. In its plural form, which is shayateen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it approximately 17 times. And so what that tells us is that shaitan is obviously not a name, right? It's not a proper noun, it's a common noun. And as a common noun, shaitan can refer to many things. This is why Allah uses the word shayateen, because there can be multiple shayateen, there can be multiple shaitans, right? Multiple satans. So what is shaitan, right? So etymologically, like when you look at the root word, so shaitan is sheen, ya, ta, noon, alif, noon, shaitan. The root word, according to people who are linguists, is either shatana or shatana. Yeah, with an alif, like a fa'il, shatana or shatana. And there are different meanings to this. Yeah. So again, you take any Arabic word, you can get the root, and that root word will let you know what the original definition is, and then from it you develop conjugations, right? Like darasa, mudarris, madrasa. The root word is darasa. So you take a word like shaitan or shayateen, the root word is shatana, right? Sheen, ta, noon. So linguists say that there are multiple meanings to this shatana, or multiple possible meanings to this. One meaning of shatana is to be far. So something which takes us far, to be far from something else. Hence, shaitan is an entity that takes us far away from our intended goal. Okay? So anything that removes us or takes us away from our intended goal is known as a shaitan.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور صلي على محمد
وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.